Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life. Lord, we do pray for Brother Jeff and Tanya and all the family there, that you will give them comfort during this time. Another family, Lord, that's in the funeral today, I'll pray for them. I pray, Lord, for Brother Sam and his need. And Lord, there's others in our church also, Lord, that are sick. Lord, you know who they are, and I pray you bless them. Lord, thank you now for this time we have together with your word. We open it up now. God, we ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Ask him to lead us and guide us now and always say, Lord. And thank you again, Lord, for the record of these people this week. Lord, having witnessed to people. And God, may it throw a light and a fire in our soul, Lord, and help us to realize it's important to talk to people about you. Lord, help us to be found faithful doing that until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, we'll begin reading with verse number 10. But a lot of this, we find in chapter 2, we find that Peter, the writer here, is talking about the believer's life in view of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talks about his sufferings in chapter number 2, the last part of that, and what Jesus went through. And we find in chapter number 3, he talks about the wife, how the wife is to be subject to her husband, and also, of course, the husband is to dwell with them according to knowledge. And then in verse number 8, how we all are one mind and have compassion one to another and all that. And then we find in verse number 10, Peter says, "For he that will love life and see good days." Man, that's interesting, isn't it? Love life and see good days. I love life. Do you? I love life. I really do. And I want to see good days. Well, he's giving us some information here that we need to take heed to. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him, first of all, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." That is, no deceit. Now, this is to have good life and see good days ahead. Now, notice also in verse number 11, "Let him eschew evil," that is, stay away from it, fear it, and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it, that's follow it, follow after peace. Verse number 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous," and I like this next phrase, "and his ears are open unto their prayers." My, that's a blessing to know that, isn't it? His ears are open to our prayers, his eyes are upon us that love him, and his ears are open to our prayers. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do what? Evil." The face of God is against those that do evil. And in verse 13, "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good?" Verse number 14, "And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Verse 15, there's a key verse today, "But sanctify the Lord God in your what? Hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." With meekness and fear. And we see in these verses here, verse number 15 especially, we see, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Your hearts. We need to fear God more. If we fear God more, we're going to fear man less. Do you know that? Fear God. Now, when I say fear God, I mean literally be afraid of God. I'm afraid we've lost that today. Nobody's afraid of God. Nobody's afraid of God's wrath, God's judgment upon their lives. And we need to fear God. If we fear God, we're going to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We're going to set him aside, apart in our hearts, in our life. He's going to be who he ought to be. He's going to be first in our lives, if we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. And we need to realize this today. So we see also in this verse, in verse number 15, we see here the Christian's hope and faith. Your hope and your faith as a Christian are defensive against the world today. Look at verse number 13, first of all, when we talk about fear God more and fear men less. Verse 13 says, "And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good?" If you do what's good, if you do what the Lord wants you to do, who's going to harm you? Tell me. Nobody. Nobody's going to harm you. If you do what's good, if you do what God wants you to do, nobody's going to harm you. Someone may threaten, someone may say something to you. And it'd be offensive to you, but yet they're not going to harm you because God's going to look at you. I believe that with all my heart, folks. I don't believe nobody's going to be hurt for doing something for God. I really don't believe that. I don't believe God's man. Yes, ma'am.
What about those missionaries that 20 of them was killed one time over in Afghanistan?
Okay. I understand that. But I'm talking about as an individual when we witness to somebody for the Lord. That's another picture. You know, I understand that. But I'm talking about for me to go out here myself and do something for the Lord, God's going to protect me. God's going to protect you. I really believe that. Now, we get in situations like countries like that, that's a different situation. It really is, and I can't explain that. I'll be honest with you. I have no answer with that. But I'm talking about a one-on-one particular situation that I'm doing my life as a witness for the Lord. God's going to take care of us. I believe God's man. God's man is going to be God's man until God takes him out. No one else is going to take him out, okay? I believe that. But, these people in other countries that have been killed, my heart goes out to those families and those people because of what's happened to them. I don't have an explanation for it. I really don't. I know God is a just God, and God knows what he's doing. He just might be saving them and preventing them from getting hurt worse than they would by even being killed. You know, are they prolonging something in their life? I don't know. But I'm talking about being a witness one-on-one to people in this world which we live in. God, we need to fear God. We need to fear God more and man less, because God is going to be the ultimate judge of all mankind, no matter what they do, what I do. And we need to realize this. Our faith and our hope as a Christian, though, is defensive against the world. It's defensive against the world. You start talking to some people about the Lord, they have all kinds of defense. All kinds of defense whenever you talk to them about the Lord. Every Christian, though, is bound to answer for the hope that is in them. Someone one day is going to ask you, someone is going to say something to you about the way you behave yourself, about the way you talk, you act, what you say, what you do, about whether you're a Christian or not. You know, we need to be that example. We are, whether we want to be or not. We are that example. And we see these confessions of our faith are to be made with meekness and fear. Fear of God. In meekness and love and fear of God. So we see here in this verse, verse number 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, we have three words here that are mentioned in this verse I want to look at. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be what? Ready. Be ready when? Always. Be ready always. Be ready always. As a Christian, as a witness, we need to be ready always. What does it mean to be ready? It means to be prepared, right? Be prepared. How things in order. How things the way you want them together, so to speak. Be prepared. We need to be ready always. Always, as a witness, I need to be ready. I go out to witness. I know I'm going to witness, and I need to be ready. I need to have my little Bible with me. I need to have some tracts with me. I need to be ready to go witnessing when I go. Okay? And make sure that I'm ready as a believer to share whatever I need to share with people. If it's a tract, open the Bible and read the Bible. I need to be ready. Always be ready as a Christian. You see, where we go. Notice also, not only to be ready, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a what? Answer to every man. Give an answer to every man. What if someone will walk up to you today, wherever you go, and ask you, are you a Christian? And you say, yes, I am. And then they say, can you tell me a Bible answer why? Can you tell me a Bible answer why? Would you have an answer? Would you have an answer? Would I have an answer? An answer is to respond or to reply. Okay? We need to be ready. We need to be ready, and we need to have an answer. Whenever someone approaches us about our salvation in the Lord, do we have an answer? We need to have an answer. Be ready, always, and have an answer to every man. To every man, no matter who it is. It can be someone that you know in churches. It can be somebody you know, somebody outside that you don't know. Are you ready always to have an answer? Always to have an answer. See, this is what a witness needs to know. We need to be prepared. We need to have an answer. And notice also, have an answer to every man that asks you a what? A reason of the hope that is in you. What is the reason? Why are you this way? Why are you prepared? You have, why is your answer this answer? Why did you give me this answer? What's your reason for this answer? You see, it's more than just saying words, folks. It's having something in your heart with meekness and love and fear of God that I want you to know why I am a Christian. Why I'm a Christian. You see, I'm a Christian not because of what I've done. I'm a Christian because of what Jesus Christ did for me. He died on Calvary for me. And I just put my faith in Him. I trust Him as my personal Savior. We need to fear God more and fear man less. A reason is a cause to believe. What has caused you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior? What caused you to do that? See, we all know if we're saved today, it's because of the work of God and the working of the Spirit of God that's caused us to believe. If it were not for Him, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, we wouldn't have an opportunity to believe. But because of that, we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God that's been presented to us. See, so we see, we need to be, what does a witness need to know? We need to be ready, we have an answer, and we need to have a reason or cause for believing. Our cause for believing. Most of us would have to say, I think, that I trusted Christ as my Savior because I didn't want to go to hell. Anybody else that way? Honest? You trusted Christ as your Savior because you didn't want to go to hell? Most people would have to say that. You know, there was a fear in my heart. There was conviction in my heart to give me fear because I knew if I die, I would go to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. Therefore, if I responded because of that, the voice of God, the Spirit of God dealing with my heart about that very thing. I didn't know that much about the Bible, about Jesus, nothing like that. I just knew that I was in a place that I didn't want to be. You know, I was going where I didn't want to go. I was headed where I didn't want to go to. And therefore, if I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as my Savior. And that's the reason. That's the reason, see, I have. Because I knew and found out, I learned that Jesus loved me, He died for me. And because Him died for me, He forgive me of my sins if I ask Him to. Therefore, I didn't want to go to hell when I die. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know for sure if I die to go to heaven. And again, that's the reason. See, we have reasons why we do what we do. You come to church today for a reason. For a reason. You had to get ready, didn't you? You had to get ready. You know, you had to respond. Your husband didn't ask you, why are we going to church today, did you? No, you did not. You just automatically know you're going to church today. You're going to Sunday school today. The answer is already given to us, you see. And therefore, the reason is because you believe, you want to know more about the Lord. And that's why we're here today. So we need to be established in the faith. And we do that by fearing God more and fearing man less. Fearing God more and fearing man less. And Peter here gives us that example. We need to be able to give a reason of the hope that is in us. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's see, verse number 13, he says, wherefore gird up your loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your minds. Gird up your minds. He tells us there. We see that we need to be established in the faith. What does a witness need to know? He's established in the faith. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Fear God more and fear man less. Also, we see that we need to be saved and know it. A witness has to be saved and know it. I've known people to go witnessing, go visiting, and find out later that they were not saved. I've known that. People like that. But a true witness is going to be saved before he goes witnessing. What happens to that person then that's not saved and goes out visiting? What happens to them? One or two things. God convicts them as they try to witness to people and they get saved, or else they get discouraged and walk out and leave and don't come back. One or two things will happen to an individual that's like that. I've seen it both sides of the situation, you see. But thank God for those that did go out and God convicted and God drew them to Him and they got saved. Thank God for that. That's the way God works. See, God is a merciful God. But God wants us to be saved and know it. I'm glad today to know I'm saved and I know it. I don't doubt it. I'm not boasting. I'm just thankful to God that I know it. I'm thankful that I know it. Take your Bibles and turn with me over to 1 John. Just a few pages over, chapter 3. How do you know, Brother Keith, that you're saved? Well, there's a lot of ways I know. The Holy Spirit bears witness from my spirit that I am a child of God. I know that. But John tells us over here in 1 John chapter 3 what God wants you to know. He wants you to know that you are now a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. Behold, when? Now. Now what? Are we the sons of God? Behold, when? Now are we the sons of God, folks. You can know that you're a child of God. Behold, now we are the sons of God. He tells us, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When are we children of God? Tell me. Now. Behold, now we are the children of God. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 13. A very familiar verse here. To know that you're saved. You've got to know you're saved, folks, to be a witness. You've got to know you're saved to be a witness. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that who? That what? Believe on the name of the Son of God that you may what? Know. Know what? That you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I mean, there's verses and verses and verses and verses we go into the Word of God that teaches us we can know that we're saved. Romans 8, let me turn back to Romans 8. Let's look at this verse. I just quoted it, but let's look at it. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 16. Romans 8, 16. God wants you to know that you are now a child of God. Romans 8, 16 says the Spirit itself. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the capital Spirit. The Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are who? Children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, you know. And it's kind of like I'm reminded, I tell it so many times, the little boy, blind boy, was out flying the kite one day. Flying the kite way up in the air. He had that little string, you know, and he was, you know, he was flying that kite, and this guy walked by and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "How you know you are? You can't see." He said, "No, but I can feel the tug. I can feel the tug, you know. I know I'm saved because the Holy Spirit lives within me. He bears witness with me that I'm a child of God." You see? So we see here that it's very important to know that we are a child of God. God wants us to know also that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We've been made the righteousness of Christ Jesus in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 21, a very familiar verse. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for" who? "Us, who knew no sin," that is, He knew no sin, "that we might be made" what? "The righteousness of God in Him." We might be made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to know that we're now children of God, that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God wants us to know also that you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new" what? "Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Some things that God wants you to know. And these things are necessary as a witness, folks. We need to know these things. We need to know this thing that you are now the son, now a son and an heir of God. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 7, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible tells us this. Paul is writing here, says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." We're a son and an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now turn to 1 John chapter 5. Again, where we were a while ago. 1 John chapter 5. These things you need to know as a Christian, as a witness. You'll never be a witness until you know these things. You've got to get them settled in your life. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 9 and 10. We talked about verse 13 a while ago, which is a witness of the word. Now verse number 9 and 10 is a witness of the saving faith of Christ. 1 John 5, verse 9 and 10. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. Who is who? Tell me. Who's the witness in you? Holy Spirit, right. He that believeth not God hath not, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. We see these are things we need to know. The witnessing of the saving faith of God in our lives. I'm glad the Bible is so plain and so simple, folks, to teach us what we need to know about our salvation. That we can be a witness because we're saved ourselves. You know, and we need to be busy doing this, folks. We need to be busy doing this. God would have you to know these things. Many more things he'll like us to know. But because I know I'm saved, because I know what God has done for me, I need to be telling other people what God's done for me. You need to be telling people what God's done for you. You know? Say, I'm not the preacher, I'm not the teacher. Yet, if you're saved, you need to be telling somebody. Somehow, with a tract, do something for God and watch God bless you. God will surprise you sometimes. He really will. He'll put you in situations that, you know, you say, how in the world did I get in that? You know, why did that happen to me, you know? But God just does that sometimes just to bring out the best in you. He really does. Because he knows your heart. He knows you love him. And because you love him, sometimes he wants that love to get out of you. You know? It's inside of you and he wants you to get it out somehow. And sometimes God will put you in a situation that it has to come out. It has to come out. And those are the sweet times that we know the Lord. Also, what does a witness need to know? We need to be separated. Now, people don't like this word. Separated. We need to be different, folks, from the world. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, we need to be separated in a lot of ways. In Romans chapter 1, let's look at a few things here. This is verses 1 through 16. Is of course, in verse number 11, he talks about, first of all, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. We've talked about spiritual gifts before when we were in the book of Ephesians. God has given every one of us a measure of faith. He's given us a gift that we might use it for him and for his glory. And we need to have a desire to share that gift, whatever it is, with other people. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Also, we need to realize that we need to be separated. And when we are, there's a purpose to bear fruit. Look at verse number 13. Verse 13 in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. God wants us to have our lives be a life of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. What is the fruit of a Christian? Of course, another Christian. Another Christian. He wants us to bear fruit. We also see our obligation in verse number 14. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Folks, we're in debt. We're in debt to people that are lost to tell them about Jesus. You know that? We owe to tell them of what God's done for us. He'll do the same thing for them. We're indebted to these people. As you go around every day in life, going back and forth to work, wherever you go, the people that you are confronted with, are these are the people that we're indebted to, folks. We need to tell them. We need to tell them. We need to share the gospel. Verse 15, also, we need to be separated that we might be eager to share the gospel Verse 15, Paul says, so as much as is in me, I am what?
Ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready to witness. I'm ready, he says, to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. We need to have an eagerness to want to do it. How it is our, did you realize most time, the more you do something, the more eager you are to do it? You think about eating. We all love to eat, don't we? Anybody here don't love to eat? We all love to eat. It's like the more we eat, the more we want to eat. Amen? Sometimes we eat too much. Well, same thing is about witnessing. The more you witness, the more you want to witness. It's something that grows on you, folks. It grows on you, and it comes out. Because you're getting, you're setting yourself a lifestyle of talking to people about the Lord every day. And when you do that, you're going to want to do it more and more and more. The less you do it, the less you're going to want to do it. But the more you do it, the more you want to do it. It grows on you. It grows on you. And here's an eagerness, you see, to share the gospel. In verse 16, a boldness, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may God help me. God stir in my heart, in my life, that holy desire to want to share the gospel to people. Have it within me. Have it within me. We see also, not only when it comes to being a witness, some things we need to know. We need to be established in our faith. Okay, we need to be saved and know it. We also need to be separated. And then also we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember we said earlier, without Him we are nothing. He's our partner. He's our team worker, teammate, so to speak, the Holy Spirit within us. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, he says, and be not drunk with wine when in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. We also see that in the early Christian's life, when you look over in Acts chapter 4, verse 5 and 8, 5 and 6, and all, in the book of Acts, we see here a group of Christians that were Spirit-filled. Their life was filled with the Spirit of God, and they were out witnessing. They were out witnessing. In chapter 4, verse 31, we see they spoke the Word of God with boldness. In Acts chapter 4, turn there. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Why? Not because of themselves, but because of the Spirit of God that was in them. He enabled them to speak the Word of God with boldness, the Bible says. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 31, the Bible says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with what? Boldness. They were bold in speaking the Word of God. So we see we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They witnessed with great power. In verse number 33, the Bible says, and with great power gave them the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. We see also there was great grace upon them because they were filled with the Spirit of God. We see also they even sang in prison. Acts 16, the Bible tells us when they were in prison, they sang because of the Spirit of God within them. They rejoiced to suffer shame for His name. They were willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ because of the boldness, because of the Spirit filled them, infilled them with that. And then turn to Acts chapter 5. Look at verse number 28. This is an astounding thing about these children of God when they became witnesses to the Lord. In Acts chapter 5, verse 38, we see here they were being accused as saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your what? Doctrine. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Man, you filled this country, you filled Jerusalem with this your doctrine. What is the doctrine? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They filled that city with that doctrine. My, my, my. I wish our country, I wish our city was filled with that doctrine today. I really do. It'd make a difference. Not only this, in chapter 17, in Acts chapter 17, we notice one more thing here about these people, about being filled with the Spirit of God. Acts 17, Verse number 6. The Bible says, when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They turned the world upside down because they were filled with the Spirit of God. They had a boldness, they had an eagerness, they had a desire in their lives to witness for the Lord. You know, it's my prayer that I would be a better witness. I hope it's yours. We all need to. When the gospel is preached, when the gospel is taught under the power of the Holy Spirit, it does one or two things to the hearers in motivating them. It's going to motivate those hearers that we talk to do one or two things. They're going to either act or they're going to react. They're going to respond by trusting Christ or they're going to reject. It's not up to me, it's not up to you to do that. That's up to the Holy Spirit to do that in their lives. You know? But it's our obligation, our responsibility to go tell, folks. Go tell. I hope we'll be busy. The greatest thing in the world we can do to make this world a better world is to tell somebody about Jesus. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus, our example, as a soul winner himself. And Lord, we can learn much from him and in his life, dear God. And I pray, Lord, you would help us now, Lord, as we go forth every day to realize, Lord, our responsibility in this life. We're not here just as Christians. We're here to be busy for you. And God, help us to be soul winners. Bless now the service we're about to go into. Lord, have your will and way in the service. And all that's done, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.